from a cybernetic organism, living tissue over a metal endoskeleton.
Three billion human lives ended on August 29, 1997. The survivors of the nuclear fire called the war Judgment Day. They lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines.
I'll be back.
You all right there? Back. Sounded like Chewbacca.
I tried to do my Arnie, but I couldn't stop laughing. That's pretty good.
You sounded like Arnie doing a Chewbacca impression.
Yeah, that's what I was doing.
Right?
Yeah, thanks, man. You that's exactly what I was doing.
There you go. Nailed it.
Good job. All right. Hey, guys. Welcome back to Citizen Frame. And welcome back to the continuation of the Terminator Retrospective. Joining me today is the usual host, Trevor.
Hello there. I said I'd be back, and I'm back.
That's unfortunate, yeah. But we have no choice. Did you see how professional I was there?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think I'm going to be doing that from now on. That's my new thing.
Yeah, yeah, along with the Chewbacca and Arnie impressions.
Yeah. Yeah, we're here to talk Terminator 2 Judgment Day, the upscale version sequel to Terminator. Kind of like the similarities between Alien and Aliens.
Totally, it's the big budget popcorn blockbuster version of Terminator.
Yes, exactly. And I haven't visited in a while until I did this podcast. So it'd be interesting after revisiting it, how I feel about it now and reading up on it a little bit, refreshing myself with the backstories of the Terminator. And yeah, so we'll see what happens. I take it you saw the director's cut.
Yes, I did.
On one.
The one with the additional scenes, such as the one with
Kyle Reese.
Kyle Reese, yes, yes. I'd seen it before on YouTube. The scene itself, but the version I watched for the podcast was the 4K fully restored or whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty much the only version they put out now. Kind of like the director's cut of Aliens. Mm-hmm. It's the only one they really put out now. Mm-hmm. Okay. So before we start, you know, I always like to do pleasant surprise. That's my new thing now. We're going to do pleasant surprise.
Pleasant surprise of the week.
Pleasant surprise of the week. We're going to do this now. If Trevor, you find something, I don't know, it's going to be something terrible probably, but if you like something, you can certainly mention it. There are films that we might not get to in the near future, but there's definitely something that I think people should check out. You know, it just came out on video on demand, and it's a creature feature, and I like my creature feature, directed by, the name has escaped me, but it came out and I decided to watch it and I really rather fucking enjoyed it. And it's called Sting.
Right.
And it is about an apartment complex where a spider from space crashes into this apartment complex, and this girl collects bugs and she finds it and starts feeding it, and it gets bigger and bigger. And well, I think we know where we're going with that.
Sound of it.
It's got some really good gore. It's got some really good gore. It's got some humor to it. But as he has, it mixes humor with dark tone quite well. And so check it out. It's called Sting. It is an adult version of Arachnophobia. It's that's all I've got. It's an adult version of Arachnophobia. Besides, there's only one spider. It's only about one spider.
Right.
But that's all you
need.
From
Mars.
And
David Bowie.
Yes, they don't tell you where it's from. I won't give anything else away. But you should check it out. The acting is quite good, and yeah, you know, it reminded me of Evil Dead Rise.
Right. Sounds good.
Because it all took place in an apartment complex, and you kind of get to know all the characters in the apartment and complex, and that's kind of what this is kind of does. And it takes a little while to plant the seed, but it closes well, and it's a good solid recommend. So check out Sting.
Over the last week, I watched that Netflix series, Baby Reindeer. It's a British stalker drama.
Yeah.
It's very well written, quite harrowing and sort of depressing based on apparent real life events and people. Well, it is. And yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty well done and certainly very well acted. A lot of people are raving about it, calling it, you know, the greatest thing ever and the most groundbreaking thing ever. It's not, but it's still very good in and of itself.
Yeah, I watched that. It's an easy watch. Yes. Short episodes, about 8 of them or so. Yeah, kudos to him coming out, and the actor in it is about him.
Yes.
So he doesn't let his guard, you know, he lets his guard down and lets everyone see what happened to him.
Yes,
so
and also
it's not even the stalking thing is one aspect of what this man goes through.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's pretty good journey. Yeah. Not pretty good journey, but it's an interesting journey that he takes.
I would say as well that I did like how he, you know, he's pretty honest and open about his own flaws as well. As he's not like painting himself in a perfect light, you know. So he sort of holding himself to account, you know, in many respects.
Well, check it out. There you go. Look at that, TV and movies.
I mean, this is just perfect. We do everything for people, here. You know, they don't have to go to anywhere else, you know, just come to us. You know?
Yeah. Fuck it. Fuck it. So there you go. Sting and Baby Reindeer.
Yes, yes. Sadly, it's not about Rudolph's first Christmas, but there you go.
Oh, my God. That was terrible. That was terrible.
You're even getting stand-up comedy here as well, you know? All for free.
Let's talk Terminator 2 Judgment Day. Cameron is back. His whole team is back, which that's Cameron. He's very loyal to his team. He brings back pretty much everybody, including Brad Fidel for the music, which is nice.
Yes.
He's got Adam Greenberg back as the DP. Stan Winston is back. So it's nice to have the guys who helped make the first one possible back.
Yeah. Yep.
You've got a cast of pretty cool people. You got Linda Hamilton is back as Sarah. Edward Furlong is, sad story about our boy Edward here. He was quite good in this one. And he, you know what, for a young kid at the time, and he put out some fun stuff. The Pet Sematary sequel was kind of fun.
Yes. Yep, I know, he did that.
And then he did Brain Scan, which no one's seen, but I really enjoy it.
He's done a few other bits and pieces over the years.
Yeah, unfortunately, drugs, mm-hmm. you know,
first of the Shag
young
star.
Celebrity stardom. Yeah, it's just going to, you know, kind of overtook him a bit. And he's made a resurgence. He's doing these Terminator Comic-Cons and stuff and whatnot. So good on him. I hope he stays grounded. And
watch him well.
Gets his feet. Yeah, gets his feet back because he's quite good in this. So I got to give him that. We have our boy back, Michael Biehn, as Reese. Small cameo. Absolutely pointless cameo, yep. To be honest with you. Joe Morton is Miles Dyson.
Yes.
I like Joe Morton. He's really, actually, he's probably, I'd say, one of the best actors in this film. They're all good, but he's really good.
I think he's the most believable here. I think he's the best actor
yes.
in the entire thing.
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen him in other bits and pieces over the years. He's been in episodes of The X-Files and stuff with Robert Patrick, actually.
There you go. Look, a reunion.
Yeah, it was.
So you've got, now Denzel Washington had the part originally. For Joe.
Is that right? Right.
For Miles Dyson. But he decided all he was crying and sweating, and so he decided he didn't want the part.
But Joe does cry and sweat very well.
I know. And we got our boy Earl Bowman back, Dr. Silberman.
Dr. Asshole.
We've got, it's nice to see Jeanette Goldstein and Xander Berkeley, who play the Voights.
Yes.
And that's, if you recognize Jeanette Goldstein, that's our girl Vasquez from Aliens. We got the Tim, who plays the kid. I thought that was the kid from Big.
His
little buddy.
He's John Connor's mate. Yeah, with the mullet, with the kid's mullet.
Yeah, I thought that was the kid from Big, but
I can't remember Big. It's been not long since I've seen it.
You've got Robert Patrick, which originally was Billy Idol.
Yes, I think I'd read that somewhere before. That would have been interesting.
Yeah, Billy Idol was ill. He was signed on, but he got a motorcycle accident and broke his leg or something.
Right.
But that's okay.
Do you know who was also meant to come back in a cameo as well? Apparently, from what I've read, Lance Henriksen, who it was going to be revealed, actually survived. Because you don't actually see him die in the original Terminator, and it was going to bring him back in a wheelchair or something, you know, having him survived the shootout, the police station massacre from the original. That would have been cool. I mean, it's always good to see Lance Henriksen.
No, that would have been stupid.
Well, I'd liked it.
No, nobody's going to survive the Terminator attack. That would have been
But you don't actually see him die off, you know, on screen.
Dumb. Yeah, they probably would have done that for fanfare.
Yeah.
Just to get, oh, it's Bishop, he's back.
Yeah. Yep.
Wrong movie, but we'll take him anyway. Now, the initial story here And I'm not pleased that they didn't go this route, because the problem with Terminator 2, and there's not a lot, there's quite a few of them actually.
I have a few issues with it.
But they are, it's great. Guys, it's a wonderful film. It's a great film. It deserves all the press and the critics and love and the money it made. It deserves it 100%. But the original concept would have been so much better. And the problem I have, like, why he didn't go this route, is because Cameron says the audience wouldn't get it. They'd be confused. And I said, I'm thinking to myself, well, Cameron, you're a pretty smart guy. Aliens and True Lies and The Abyss are pretty smart films.
Yep.
You got to trust your audience.
Mm-hmm.
So, especially if they're watching a Terminator film, they're going to, it's not, anyways, let me tell you what it is. Reese was supposed to come back.
Yeah.
All right. Reese was supposed to come back, and he is the T-1000.
Right.
They've taken his looks and put him in the, and he's the baddie, and the Terminator is the goodie. That would have worked so much better. And the problem I have with them not going this direction is because the film, what doesn't work for the film is it's got a lot and too much camp.
Yep.
And that's between John Connor and the Terminator.
It's so stupid and annoying.
And it really does hurt the film. When I saw it originally, I was like, oh, this is fun. The problem is he went this route, the bonding relationship, his new father figure, which would be this, you know, the T-800. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be such more effective if Reese came back and really fucked things up, because it would have, there's pretty much his father coming to kill him. And that really would have made things darker. And I think Cameron didn't want to do it. He says it's because it's going to confuse the audience. I don't think that's what, I think he did it because he wanted to go more of a PG-13 route. And because if you went the other way, you'd be going what worked for the original Terminator, which was horror.
He wanted to go mainstream, and he did. And the stuff with the...
He sold out. Yeah. I think he sold out.
I agree. And the stuff with the No Problemo and, you know, all the Hasta la Vista, baby, and Stand on One Leg and stuff. You know, after watching the original and then watching this sort of back-to-back pretty much, does jar, and it irritates me. It irritated me at the time, and it still does, probably even more so now, that they went kiddie-friendly with Arnie. I think it might have been Arnie as well, because Arnie wanted to spread his wings a bit more as an actor. Who knows? But it does jar for me.
Yeah, I can see that Arnie having a bigger influence in this, because there's no way they could do this film without him. So I think, and he was above and beyond an A-lister at this point, because Predator and Total Recall just came out. So, and Running Man. So this guy was nobody. He could do what he wanted. So I think he definitely had say. Like, I could guarantee you another reason it didn't go that route is because, or maybe because, or whatever. Arnie wanted to play the good guy no matter what.
Yes.
He wasn't going to go back to playing the bad guy at this point. But either way, I would have liked to have seen that. Unfortunately, we got this route. It's not a train wreck or anything. Don't be ridiculous to say this movie's a train wreck, because it's not. But people are comparing it as better than Terminator. Same concept of aliens is better than Alien. Aliens, I can give you that argument. I can get why people, but I do not understand why true fans of the Terminator would think Terminator 2 is better. Terminator is a far superior film with not even a quarter of the budget.
100% agree. And yeah, I mean, I was just thinking there, didn't Arnie around this time, was it Arnie that said that because he had children, young children, he didn't want to play bad guys anymore? Because
The same thing happened with Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
Eddie Murphy didn't want to be swearing anymore and be that guy from the 80s.
So he did The Nutty Professor.
He wanted to tone it down. And I can respect that.
Yes, I understand it.
But these actors need to understand you're disrespecting the character you brought to life.
Yes.
By doing a dumbed-down version of what worked.
Yeah.
Again, that could be the director as well, of course. But I don't know.
There's a couple of other things, Nigel, I would say as well. The timelines, this is where the beginning of the timelines being messed up. What age is John Connor here, and when is this set? This is supposed to be 1994, but yet it clearly says on the police scanner that he was born, in keeping with the original, in 1985. That means he's 9 years old, technically, in this film, and he's clearly about, at very least, 11. but more like 12, 13.
Well, and he's driving a motorcycle or something. So
yeah.
He's got to be a certain age. He's definitely a teenager.
Well, to be fair, I mean, regarding the motorcycle thing, I mean, he's a bit of a throwaway anyway. So, but yeah, I mean, the timeline, he's not 9 years old.
It was nice seeing Michael Biehn back, but I think this was just for fanfare. This whole dream sequence is fucking stupid.
Big time.
I would have gotten rid of it completely. I mean, if you're going to bring him back, I would have brought him back in a flashback and fixed maybe something he says in the hotel room before they had yum yum time.
It feels like something like a daytime TV soap opera that has been taken straight out of this scene. The dream sequence,
yeah.
you know, where it's a total melodramatic and cheesy and silly and pointless.
Yeah, and there's a reason why it wasn't in the original. Yes. Cut, and now they just brought it back, but they should have kept it out. Here's another problem. And guys, we'll get to a lot of good stuff, but our fair points are, like, this movie's 2 hours and 37 yeah. minutes, and there's a lull in this film. We don't even see the T-1000.
Yes.
It's all about Arnie and Furlong, and it's like a 45 minutes.
At the Mexican border?
Just
scenes.
Yeah,
I know. And it's all this bonding, and then they're sort of arming up, and then sort of Connor decides to go to the Dyson's house, you know, to kill him. Yeah, it does. I get that they have to, you know, let the audience catch their breath a bit, but it goes on for too long.
Yeah, it certainly does. I mean, you introduce us these great characters like the T-1000.
Yes.
And played wonderfully by Robert Patrick. And Robert Patrick, months of training running.
Yeah.
And he really did nail the part very well. And for his second big outing, his first film was Die Hard 2 as yep. one of the terrorists. And so he does steal the show. If you steal the show from Arnold Schwarzenegger at this time of Arnold's career, you've done something fucking right.
So slick. I love the way it moves, you know, and you can totally believe.
You're right. I like. What I liked about him is that when you're getting the story of how Arnie is trying to get to John.
Yes.
And then you've got the cut to the T-1000, how he's trying to get to John. You know, you got yeah. these little side stories. And what's great about it is here's Arnie, goes into the bar. He's a little roughhousing because at this time he doesn't know not to hurt anybody because he hasn't got the orders.
That was stupid as well.
From John. Yeah.
Yep.
That's a stupid scene too. But anyways, the great thing is when you first meet Robert Patrick, he's so polite and nice and well-mannered. He's like, ma'am, is John around? Can I speak with your son,
yeah,
please?
Yeah.
Blah, blah. He's just he's got the etiquette of a cop done, you know, so well. And once he gets into the mall and he sees John Connor for the first time in his sight,
yeah.
that little nice guy mentality
yeah.
turns and he becomes the killing machine that he is. It's great. Transition between
yeah.
good cop, bad cop.
And of course, the big thing is, of course, Robert Patrick can act and he acts it so very well. You know, and no disrespect to Arnie, you know, but Arnie's more of a movie star as opposed to a serious actor. Robert Patrick is a serious actor.
Well, I'm not going to go that far. Mm. Arnie's a better actor to me. I like Robert Patrick.
Yes.
Robert Patrick has had a great career. It's always nice seeing him in films. But they always say the supporting actors, the Gary Oldmans, the James Woods.
Conor McGregor's.
Conor McGregor's, fuck off. The good ones always steal the show from the A-listers.
Yes.
And Robert Patrick does, hands down. Wouldn't call him, you know, I think he's done a lot of shit. A lot of shit, actually.
He's a better actor than anybody, I think.
I say even. I can't say that.
I think
I won't say that. You and I have had this argument before. We don't have to go back.
Yeah, that's okay.
We've had this before, and I think Arnold can act. And he gets... And sadly, a lot of people aren't seeing the films that people should be seeing.
It's got better over the years, for sure. I remember, correct me if I'm wrong here, you might know this here, but I remember in the mid-90s, there was an X-Files-esque made-for-TV film that was actually pretty good called Fire in the Sky, based on an apparent true story.
That was in the theater.
Was it all over here? I think we just got it on TV, we didn't get it in theaters, or it was on video, straight to video or something. But is Robert Patrick in that? I think he is.
He's the buddy. It's based on a true story about a group of friends who go out, and one of the friends gets abducted, and he comes back, and he's been traumatized, and the friends are accused of killing him.
Yes, I remember enjoying that, but I was just unsure if it's been a lot of years since I've seen it. I was just unsure if Robert Patrick was in it or not, but yes, he was in.
It was his second outing, I think, right after this. But yeah, so... And you know, they work well together, and the stunt performing is really cool. Like when they first fight, I love the scene in the mall.
Yes.
Where you've got skinny little Robert Patrick beating the shit out of Arnold Schwarzenegger, just throwing them everywhere.
Through walls and all sorts.
Through the storefront. Yeah. It's really, really nice. And that's what I wanted. See, the thing is, the Terminator, it's nonstop chasing. And what they do is they pepper in short little dialogue and, character development, which you have to do in a good film. But this one takes too many breaks.
Yes, there's too much character. It's almost like the when they were bored with the character development and the sort of story and the trauma of Sarah and stuff. I also thought there was too many scenes of Sarah in the hospital before she actually escapes. One or two would have done that rightly, you know?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Like you had the guy licking her face.
Yeah, that's the suggestion. Basically he's been raping her. So it is, but it's, again, obviously it's toned down because they were going for the PG-13 certificate, or 15 it was in the UK. But it's like sort of thrown in, and it doesn't really, I suppose in a way that part, whenever she does beat the absolute shit out of him, you're sort of, it has a greater power because you're sort of cheering her on even more, and he deserves it and more. But yeah, there's too much stuff going on here, I think, generally.
Yeah, they could have cut quite a bit from this film, quite a bit actually, and the funny thing is, the stuff they rush, they shouldn't be rushing, like the conversation they have with Miles Tyson before he gives in and goes to the Cyberdyne, whatever it's called, Cyberdyne. I'd rather see more of that dialogue than fucking 30 minutes of him bonding with fucking
totally
John
agree.
Connor.
Because Miles Tyson, not just because of Joe Morton's acting, but he's actually a really interesting character, you know? So he is, and you want to hear more about him. One thing I do not want to hear more about is a whiny teen bonding with fucking Arnie, you know?
Well, let's jump into the bonding part. Some of it works, some of it doesn't. There's a nice little... that you mentioned in the Terminator podcast we did, where he calls, I got to call my foster parents. They're dicks, but they've been pretty good to me. So he calls them, and he's like, she's being really nice. She's never nice. And he asked for what's your dog's name, whatever it was. And he says, hey, is Wolfie okay? And she, Wolfie's fine. He hangs up the phone. Your foster parents are dead. That is a throwback to when you said, with Kyle Reese said it to Sarah Connor in the hotel, your mother's dead.
It's just so matter of fact and deadpan. It makes it more chilling, all the more chilling. What really bugged me as well, and it's connected to the bonding, the fact that the Terminator, who's meant to terminate people, just injures them because John Connor says so. He's called the Terminator for a reason. He's like the nut Terminator after he just like shoots him in the leg. You know, I get why it's done and all that there, but it didn't work for me.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of that whole thing. I think it would have been better where Sarah sees what this man can do or this machine can do. And she tries to avoid the bond between them two because...
Yeah.
He's killing everything in front of him. You needed
that conflict.
You needed a conflict there, where because it just doesn't work. As he's a nice guy. What the fuck is this?
The potential conflict with Sarah and the Terminator is resolved in about 2 seconds. You know, it's like
I didn't get that either, because there's a great shot too where she sees him coming for the first time. In the hospital, and she's fucking sells it. She's terrified. And then the T-1000 shows up. He says, okay, he's the bad guy. And it's like, wow, that was quick.
And then Arnie does the child line.
You needed more, almost a distance between the T-800 and these two. And that's done by Sarah. she's in between them two, and maybe have a little where John doesn't like Sarah anymore because he can't bond with the T-800. You need something there. This is too
easily.
It almost just sounds horrible to say this. And guys, I do like the film. I mean, we're gonna stop. We're gonna get some of all the positives coming. I promise. I promise. Don't end us yet. But it almost was this. There's moments where I was like, wait a minute, am I watching a Terminator film or kindergarten?
100%, 100%. And that does bug me a little. Well, actually, I've got quite a big bit with this film. It's toned down Terminator. There's a film called Terminator 2 Judgment Day. I want to see the apocalypse and Arnie massacring people. You know what I mean? I don't want to see Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm getting this shit when I see these two on screen, I want to see more of the T-1000. Yes. Say, that's a nice butt. I want that guy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, they went down that route, and yes, there is a lot of positives that this film is widely loved and much respected, and, you know, it's a bit of a critical darling, but give me the original any day of the week.
But I do like the fact, when things start changing a bit after we get that family dynamic shit.
Yeah.
When Sarah says, fuck this, she's going to go kill him. This is where I wanted to see. This is where we start taking where Sarah's like, this man needs to be killed.
Yes.
He's about to kill, you know, what is it, 8 billion, they say, or something, people.
6
or
billion, or
whatever
I think.
It was. Yeah. And so she goes to kill him. And when she goes into his house and she sees his kid and his wife, and he's, God, Joel Martin's very good. He acts like a guy who actually got shot. Not like these films where they're like, oh, I took a gunshot for the first time.
Yeah.
He's actually, you know, he's clearly
believable.
Not a soldier.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And there's Linda Hamilton selling it as well, because she wants to kill this man with every fiber in her being, but she can't do it. I mean, she herself has become a killing machine because of... Well, not really. I guess you can't say that because she's more been hiding, but she's prepared for this kind of day. Mm-hmm. You've seen her working out, and she's trying to get out of the psycho ward. And when she does, and she finally has a chance to take that shot, she knows she doesn't have what it takes. She can't
because
do
she's
it.
A mother.
It's a great
she's
scene,
a parent.
Actually.
Yeah.
It's a great scene. And I wanted more of that grit.
Yes.
That's what I want from a Terminator film, is that grit.
Mm-hmm. No, I can't argue with that. And, you know, especially with the way it's sold so very well by Joe Morton and Linda Hamilton. And yes, we should have had a lot more of this, you know, that whole dilemma of, you know, it's like, you know, having to kill this family man, this generally nice guy who just accidentally happens to create the end of the world. Yeah, it should have been more of the backbone of the story overall.
Exactly. And even have Miles Dyson introduced earlier on, if you wanted to, that would have been all right itself. I mean, just, I don't know.
Something with more
anyways,
weight.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of Arnie standing on one leg.
Not so we can, yeah, it was, yeah. But so the whole concept is Dyson is the chip in the arm from the last film.
Yeah.
He's got it, and he was able to build this technology. And this technology is so advanced. It's the whole thing, don't fuck with Mother Nature, yada, yada, yada. It ends up becoming so powerful, it takes over, causing the war.
Yeah.
Kind of similar to War Games.
Well, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's an old story.
It's about how, AI becomes, or HAL from 2001.
To play God.
Who actually was not, he was the good guy.
Although I liked Hal, you know?
Yeah. So, hello, Hal. Oh, wait. Hello, Dave.
Why don't you take a stress
pill? That's going to be the most boring conversation.
What does he say? He says, why don't you take a stress pill, Dave, and think things over?
Yeah, you know, this is the part where it starts getting a little longer. Now, when they get to Cyberdyne and the cops show up, I don't know. You know, I love the helicopter scene. Yes. The one that when he takes over the helicopter, this whole chase scene on the truck is awesome. I just found the scene of the building again. I wanted violence. I'm going to get yelled at and booed.
Not at all.
They're cops and all. But at the end of the day,
it's an action film. It's meant to be a flipping Terminator film. I want to see people get terminated.
He needs to do his job, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. And if they're in his way, he's got to kill. And I would love to have seen that dynamic where John and Sarah are maybe starting to, you know, Sarah's opening up the lines of communication with him more as she begins to trust him, and maybe have her intervene going, okay, we can't have you do this now. And maybe, you know, some kind of conflict where they need to stop him from killing, not just, oh, stop killing. Yeah, oh, okay, yeah, I'm no, good.
I know.
You needed him to have trouble trying to shut that command down. That would have been better.
The whole thing with Arnie being a good guy has always been my issue. You said, oh, you're going to get hate about this. I'll tell you a true story. The first time I saw this, I was 14 in the cinema, went with my mates. So it did. And you know, whenever later following this scene with the cops, you think that Arnie has been killed by the T-1000 and his red eye goes out. See, in the cinema at the time, because I was sort of pissed that Arnie was a good guy, I went, yo, and cheered. Everybody turned around and looked at me pissed off and tutted in the cinema, not just my mates, like everyone in the cinema. And then when Arnie came back to life again, everyone cheered again, but like at me, you know, as if to say, fucking slap it into you, you little dickhead.
Yeah, why would you not root for Arnie, man?
Because I wanted him to kill, be a Terminator, a badass, an evil Terminator.
Well, he could still bend that, but you'd still feel sorry for him when he sacrifices himself at the end.
I was 14.
Here, you know what? You're a hateful bastard. I don't think you ever liked Arnie.
I love Arnie, but I love him. No, you don't. Him much more than the original.
No, you don't. You're a sick bastard. Again, we get this really cool effect of explosion when they're kind of reflecting of what happened when Dyson, yes. When she tells the story of Dyson, and kids are playing in the LA background, and she's having a nightmare or something, and she's grabbing the fence, and then you see her skin burning as the bomb goes off. And
can I tell you?
It's just
something about that scene.
It's just, what was that?
That's not Linda Hamilton in that scene.
That's probably her twin sister.
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, her twin sister plays her stunt double, I think, a couple times.
Yeah, in that scene, apparently.
I know everything. I know everything.
Right? Who are you? Are you like fucking Miles Dyson? Are you the Terminator?
I don't know which one. I don't know. Can I be the T? Can I be the T-1000?
Yeah, well, fair enough.
I don't want to be Dyson because he dies. But he dies like, Ellie, again, you know, Dyson's barely in it and he's got the best arc. Because he knows what he's done and he sacrifices himself because he kind of got no choice by blowing everyone up.
Including himself.
And it's a great scene where he's trying to keep breathing. It's kind of a tough watch. He's barely in it. And this is how good this actor is. And
I can only hold this for so long.
Yeah. And he tells them to run. Yeah. Because I only can hold this for so long. And they're like, fuck, run. But it's a good effective scene. There's so many really good effective scenes in this one. I love the mall sequence. It's brilliant. I love
and the truck.
The foster parents, the truck sequence, the motorcycle chase is wonderful when he's flipping the shotgun reloading with one hand. It's fucking awesome. And I mean, I love Linda Hamilton's rage.
Yeah.
I love the T-1000. Robert Patrick really fucking sells it. I love so much about this film, but the key component, Arnie,
is missing.
And 40 minutes of this could have been cut or give us more of the darker shit, because this fucking father-son thing is really fucking stupid.
I think, you know, it does make sense in a way, because the character of John Connor, you know, his father died before he was born and he was going between different men, you know, basically. So he even states it, you know, so he never really had a father figure or a proper father figure in his life. The problem is it comes across as slapstick silliness. What should be a serious character arc for John Connor turns into stand on one leg and hasta la vista, baby. And it just takes all seriousness.
Oh, yeah. I understand why you cry. Like, oh my God.
What about the thumbs up whenever he's getting into the fucking, you know, like the lava, basically, you know, at the end, and it's just the final thumbs up.
I just, yeah. I wanted to cry. Fuck. No, but again, I really am enjoying the film.
You know what? It is a good plot. It's in it. I mean, this was groundbreaking as well in terms of special effects and, you know, action sequences and stuff at the time. So, you know, it certainly should be remembered for that. But this is the Terminator goes mainstream in more ways than one.
You see, the problem I have, there's little things that bother me, and this is on James Cameron. James Cameron's a smart guy, clearly, and he's very articulated, and he knows his IT, and, yes, you know, he always has the right team with him. But when I see them going into a pretty much a military Cyberdyne systems, and he can't get the key, but fucking John has an ATM card that he can hack banks with,
yeah,
he's going to use that to hack a very high secured, pretty much weapons facility, or
there's a few details like that. Even the cliche of whenever the T-1000 is first chasing John in the mall, his motorbike doesn't start, or it takes it a while to start, and that's just a bit of a sort of a cheap cliche, you know, to ramp up the tension. You know, usually it's a car in films, but in this case it's a motorbike. Yeah, there's a few little... one of the biggest things that does bug me, I have to admit, because I'm a bit pedantic with things like this, is the timeline, you know, and the age of John Connor.
Yeah, that one doesn't make any sense. I had one question, and what was it? I forgot. It was something about Kyle Reese.
Go ahead. Yep.
If Kyle Reese died in 1984...
Yes.
Would John Connor ever have known him?
It's a time loop. It's basically a time loop.
Would the T-800 know him?
It's
somebody says something where they knew him, but would he be dead? Wouldn't he be erased if he dies? In 84?
No. It's a time loop. So basically, he is then born in whatever, like, to say 2003 or whatever, you know, and he then, during the apocalypse, you know, the end of days, all this here, and then he grows up to be like a soldier fighting for John Connor, but John Connor knows that he will be his father, so John Connor has no choice but to send him back. In the original, John Connor deliberately chose Kyle Reese because he knew it had to be him to go back to basically impregnate his mother. So it's a time loop.
Because of his obsession with the photo.
Yeah, it was John giving the photo. So it was like, John was like setting him up with his mom. You know, it's a time loop. That's, you know, a time travel loop.
That's all right. That's fine.
Yeah.
What really does work for this film is the action period when it is there. The great thing about Cameron, before he became CGI man, yes, this is a beautiful blend. It's still models, still practical, still a little matte in there. Very little CGI besides with obviously the T-1000.
Yeah.
And this whole chase scene with the fucking truck is just wonderful.
Yes.
And it's, and I, at my favorite part, I love the liquid nitrogen, mm-hmm, scene. It's so beautifully done and so well crafted and so just well directed. Such a wonderful,
I love when his leg and all comes off.
Whole sequence.
Yeah.
And you can see the reaction of the T-1000 as he's freezing, his jaw drops like, what the fuck?
You know, I have a question. So yeah, I take it this is the point where he starts to malfunction, because after this, whenever he's walking across like sort of metal floors and stuff, he's becoming like the metal and there'll be like flashes of some changing going through him. So he's starting to malfunction here as well.
Yeah, probably taking a lot of hits. Yes. And that would have been a nice little explanation too. Is there only so many times he can be burned or he can be crushed, or is there only so many times that he can rejuvenate, uh-huh, his liquid form? You know what I mean?
Yes.
But I love this whole, I do like this ending sequence. Mm-hmm. I really do enjoy it. Until we get to the sad face at the end. But I just thought the fight sequences with him and Arnie are fun. And when Arnie's getting beaten, I will say this, and as much as I didn't like the banter between him and John, we knew he was the good guy. And when he's bashing his head in with that fucking steel rod or whatever it is, that steel beam, you see his face getting pummeled. I felt sorry for him. I was like, fuck, I don't want to watch this. So even though I've been bitching about, you know, he's a nice guy and all friendly, he did his job, Arnie. He really did his job. Let me finish. At the end, when he's getting bashed in, you're like, fuck, I don't want to watch this. This is already. So I kind of see where they're going because you kind of turned me a little bit at the end there.
Well, all I can say to that, Kieran, is I now know why you cry.
Yeah.
Yep.
But the whole, he's got that fucking grenade gun, whatever it is, and he just pummels and he just explodes him. And I like the fact when he falls into the, it's a steel, melted steel. It's kind of like the thing. You can see all the things he's morphed into.
I was just about to say that. I really like that. Yeah, where it's all the different faces. It's like, you know, the foster parents and stuff, the foster mother and stuff. And it becomes like the thing. I really like that touch as well.
And then he sacrifices himself.
I am the final chip. He doesn't actually say it, you know, in those words, but there is one more chip, he says, and it's him. Too much? The emotion?
Yeah, well, and then the ending was terrible.
I don't know.
There's John. He's a U.S. senator, and Sarah is a grandma. I was like, oh, fuck this.
Yeah, I know. Everybody lives happily ever after. And poor, well, you know, I'll say it again. I now know why you cry.
Well, we'll find out in the third one. I know that was a piece of shit, the third one. I'm curious where
I like parts.
I'm telling you right now, as we talked about this film, guys, listen, I'm going to say something right now. I had good fun with it. I love this film. It's so enjoyable. It's a Schwarzenegger classic. But when you're talking about fucking Terminator, you got to make fun of it because it doesn't hold a candle to the source material.
Agree completely.
But it's still fucking good blockbuster fun.
Yeah, it's a popcorn movie.
But for anyone who thinks this is better than the original, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Watch them back to back. Do me a favor, because we're coming to come up to a film called Dark Fate that came out a couple years ago. And I got to watch it again. And we'll talk about our retrospective at the very end of all this. But I think Dark Fate's better than this film. And because everything I wanted this to be Aliens. Okay.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is that Aliens mixed everything beautifully. You had the humor, you had the characters, you had a little bit of a downtime, but you had the intensity, you had the horror, you had the drama, you had every fucking genre in that film beautifully executed. But this one, something went wrong. There's a less is more would have been better with this film.
It does appear to be the point where James Cameron started to lose the plot. And sort of sell out. He doesn't quite do it here, but I believe this was the beginning of him doing that.
I can hear why you would say that, but I'm going to disagree because of True Lies. Because yes. I actually love that fucking film. So
I'd have to revisit it.
I think it was Titanic that pretty much destroyed. I mean, well, it destroyed my vision, my view of who James Cameron is.
Don't like the Titanic.
I don't think this was this. I don't think this was studio. I'm going to tell you who kind of, like I said, I don't want to say ruin it because it is a very good film. But if there's anyone to blame, it's nothing to do with the studios. This is Cameron and Schwarzenegger's fault.
Yeah. It went too mainstream. It's too mainstream. And that's what, for me anyway, I know a lot of people love it. And I would say a lot of people love that it's more mainstream and more sort of, you know, for a popcorn blockbuster audience. Then that's fair enough. That's up to them. But for me, yeah, it does jar for me in those respects and always has done.
Well, it's going to be interesting because you told me that you remember in terms
of. I like aspects
3.
Of it. I wouldn't say I like all of it.
Yeah. I wish I could record our fucking conversations. I really fucking do because you said, "Oh Jesus God!"
I've always had a soft spot for.
Oh my God, I fucking love that film.
Shit, I wouldn't
say
that.
It's like fucking incredible. I wish I had a tape recorder.
I know that I do like aspects of it, but again, it's been a long time. I think shortly after it was released, actually, since I've seen it. But so my mind may have changed. But you know what, folks? If you really want to find out, you'll have to tune into our next podcast.
That's right. The only good about Terminator 3 is the naked chick.
Yeah. What's she? The T-1 million or something? Or I don't even know.
Yeah. I tell you what. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's got my vote.
Yeah, well, we'll get to it. But I know that that guy, Nick Stahl, plays John Connor.
Yeah.
And
that's another thing I'm going to look up.
Clardines.
Yeah, oh, Jesus. And I don't get why they replaced Edward Furlong. I want to look up that what happened.
Because of Edward Furlong was going through, let's just say, a lot of problems at the time.
Ah, that sucks.
They originally wanted Edward, but they didn't cast him because he was apparently going through a lot of issues at the time.
That's too bad. Because, you know, continuity is big. Oh, yeah. And it would be nice to have to keep him and give him part of this. All right. So, again, it's a excellent summer blockbuster, but come on.
Yeah.
Go with me here. It's like you fans of, you hated the new Halloween movies, right? But I think they're so good, but you think Resurrection's better. It's like, come on. Go with me here, people. All right, we'll be back with Terminator 3.
We'll be back.
And we'll be back. We're going to pepper in a little horror film. We like to do that during our retrospectives. And so we're going to be talking Abigail next, and then we'll get Terminator 3 out right away after that. And that's all I've got for you right now. We're going to go ahead and end this one. And you could give us a shout at CitizenFrame_podcast on Instagram and, of course, Facebook. Or you're probably going to delete us anyway after us ripping on your wonderful, epic masterpiece. I remember seeing this as a kid in the theater. I was a kid. I was 20. And it was like going, that's a fucking masterpiece. And I don't know where I'm.
It's a tough one.
It sucks because I don't want to. I feel like I tore it to shreds, but I'm not. I'm tearing it to shreds because of the source material, not because it's a bad movie, if that makes any
sense. Flawed, but entertaining.
There we go. Cool fan. Flawed, but not blah, blah, blah. All right. We'll be back. Let's see.